Does that seem to be working better, putting it up there?
As long as the Bibles don't get set on it.
Oh, okay, yeah, that would, that would affect it.
That happened once or twice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's have a word of prayer before we start. You want to bring me the extras, please? You're used to putting them over there, I know.
Yes.
Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Pray for each teacher in all of the classes there they are. And we pray your blessing on them. Be with us here and achieve in this lesson what you desire in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we began by looking at the matter of salvation by grace, the inner box. And then in another lesson, we looked at the border around that in the development of salvation. We also had a week in which we looked at, last time, at the understanding, comprehending Bible truth, and then the discernment box. Now today we're going to look at the matter of prayer, and we're going to see some scriptures having to do with prayer. I appreciate the boys bringing me the water. If you'll turn in your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to actually be looking at quite a few scriptures today. And we're going to begin with Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And then we have what's often called the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's instruction for prayer. This is not him praying, nor is he saying that these are words we should use in praying. Now, there's nothing wrong with reciting the Lord's Prayer, for the things that are in it are very worthwhile, of course. But he's really giving us instruction. I'll deal with that. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. So this is what, this manner, this way, okay, is what he's talking about. Pray like this. First of all, our Father which art in heaven. You're addressing our Heavenly Father. That's who prayer is to be addressed to. Hallowed be thy name. We are to have in our hearts the idea that indeed he is holy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now that's a good thing to pray for, okay? But what he's saying is that as we are praying, when we are asking for things, we should be doing so in a way that is going to enable us to be living on this earth, okay, the way it is in heaven. And eventually, his kingdom will be on this earth, and Jesus will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. You know, we understand that. But right now, as we're living, we should be going about living in a way that, can I say, recreates in our own life, recreates in our own home, the kingdom of God, okay? The way God wants things to be on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. So you can use that very phrase, and that, but that is what we might think of as a broader, a generic way of asking for our daily needs. Okay? But this is what he's talking about here, our daily needs. So right now, if you have enough food, but you don't have the money to pay for the utility bill, then of course, praying, give us our daily bread, it isn't food that you need, and so you would ask for money to pay the gas bill. Now you say, well, that's obvious. Yeah, I know, but what we're getting at, he's giving instruction on praying. And then he goes on, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, our forgiveness is not based on, listen to me this, our forgiveness is not based on our forgiving someone else. Our forgiveness is based on what Jesus Christ did for us. However, our relationship with him, the control that he has over our life, it comes by how we live. And how we live is that if somebody does me wrong, that doesn't give me a right to do them dirty back. You've heard the saying already, I don't get mad, I get even. Well, that's very worldly wise. It's not in any sense scriptural. And even if a person never speaks the words, but they live that way, then you see they're not living according to the Lord's instructions here. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we do not expect the Lord to lead us into temptation, do we? We don't expect him. But, okay, we know that as we go about living our life, temptation's going to come. And so what he's instructing us to do here is to live previous instructions in a manner that doesn't allow us to put ourselves in situations, deliver us from evil. Now, if we think of the matter of temptations with the word testing, okay, because when we think of temptation, it's a solicitation to do wrong, okay? That's what a temptation is. You're never tempted to do something good, okay? We might say we're prompted to, okay? We're influenced to do good, but you don't speak of being tempted to do good. That's involved with evil, okay? Where the word testing, when you endure and I endure a test, so we have some kind of a daily experience going on. We have something taking place in our life, a particular condition that exists, and it can become a test. Don't lead us in this testing. Don't let me fail, Lord. Help me to pass this test. And so when a person is tested, now you say, well, when that situation I face, it has to do with my automobile, okay? And I'm facing a situation that involves the automobile. How do I know if that's a test from God or a temptation from the devil? Okay, well, just do right, and it doesn't matter which it is. You see, if it's a testing that God brought along or just a situation that exists, we still need to do right in it. So lead us not into evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so we find this as the instruction that he gives to us. Now in Matthew chapter 26, same book, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. He tells us to watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then he says something that we often have quoted, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we must be very careful. That's why he says watch and pray, so that when a situation comes along that will end up how we handle that situation, how are we dealing with this test, if you please? Are we going to pass or fail? Are we going to allow this test to be a temptation, a prompting to do evil? And he goes on and he says, the spirit indeed is willing. We want to do right, no doubt about it. We want to do right. but the flesh is weak. Now, you can tell when a Christian does not understand the seriousness of the tests we face. Because they, when they've blown it in this test, when they've made the wrong decision, well, you know, my spirit was willing, but my flesh is weak. And it's, you know, they're trying to make light of the fact that they yielded to a temptation. And it's nothing to make light of. It's a very big and serious thing. You say, well, it wasn't a big thing. It was really just a little thing. Yeah. There's a scripture that says, beware of the little foxes that spoil the vines. Meaning that the little foxes had to be down low. And they could only reach the lower level. But boy, if they devastated that lower level, can you picture maybe three or four little foxes? Mama fox was able to get up higher. Papa fox can get up higher. But you got these three or four or five or six little foxes just, you know, down low, nibbling away. It doesn't take long until that vine is going to be spoiled. And so he tells us here. Now, what does he say, though? Watch. Be on guard. Be alert. Watch and pray. So now we go back to the instruction that he gave in what we call the Lord's Prayer, and that is, we are to pray, lead us not into temptation. Okay? We're to pray about that. That's what he's telling us here. We're to pray that we would not enter into temptation, that we won't enter in, that is, participate in it. Okay? Yield and become part of it. We're supposed to watch for that. Be on guard. Because we cannot grow. Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's a very true verse. But sometimes people will put that on at the end of a prayer. And it's, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given to us. We thank you for this rain. We needed this rain bad. We're so glad it came. And help us all to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just routinely, habitually, tagged on the end of a prayer. Well, listen, we're not going to grow in grace and knowledge if we're not being alert and praying about the testing that comes our way. I heard one man say that one of the first things that he prays when he wakes up in the morning is just this sort of thing. Help me, Father, to be on guard. Help me to be alert to the things that I will experience today, and how, help me to know how to react and to react the way I ought to, so that I don't do wrong. In other words, so he wouldn't enter in and participate in, become part of the temptation. Oh boy, and I'll tell you, when he says watch, we need to do that so much. You know, when I go out into the garage to do something, and I reach for a tool, and I've got to sort of extend myself. I should have made the bench a little narrower, okay? And to cut it narrower that'd be work. So I'll just keep stretching, okay? And then I grab the tool, then it falls down. And where it falls is into a box of two ratchet wrenches and some, you know, the things that go on the end of them. And it falls into that, and then it knocks that over. Well, I don't know about you, about now, it's time for me to watch, to be alert. Because, now I'm not going to swear a blue streak, okay? But I'm probably not going to be happy. And I can lose that, you know, I just had devotions and I got everything in order. Now, here again, let me throw something out here. Devotions are not an insurance policy for the day.
That's right.
If you're having devotion, and I've heard people give testimony, boy, when I don't have my devotions, my day just doesn't go right. I got to have my devotions. And that's true. But if you're having them just so you don't have a bad day, it's not an insurance policy. So anyway, I just had devotions. Now I went out in the garage and I'm going to do something, and what I described happens, and I've got to watch. I've got to be alert and pray. Now, what I need to remind myself is, okay, now that hammer fell, knocked the box of the ratchet wrenches and their different things. What are those things called?
Sockets.
That's it. Sockets, thank you. And knocks the box of sockets over. Now, it's time to pray. And I honestly believe, and it may only be a second of time, but in that second of time, I'm going to know that I ought not to do what I feel like doing, okay? And I ought not to react the way I, my old nature, would react. And so what I need to do is a quick flash prayer. Lord, help me not lose it. And, you know, that alone, you say, well, how's it work? What's he going to do for you? That alone broke the direction of your attitude and feelings, okay? You say, well, then that's just a religious psychology. You call it what you want. In the fact that I prayed, it kept me from responding the way I would normally in the flesh respond. So he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then let's look at Luke chapter 11. We'll see another scripture here regarding prayer. Now, this is all under the idea of developing our salvation. So when he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're developing it. And prayer is one of the ways that we do it. And so to know what the scriptures have to say regarding praying can be an advantage, of course. All right. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to go to verse 5. Excuse me, I think I said 15. 5. And he said unto them, which of you have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. I don't have any food to give him. So I've come to you very late at night, because this fellow arrived late. And he from within, the friend you went to, the guy within, shall answer and say, go home. Okay? Trouble me not. The door is shut. My children are in bed with me. You say, in bed with me? You know, even in our own country, there was a time when all the kids slept together in one bed. And depending on what the condition of the home is, everybody shared the same bed. Okay. I've heard stories about the little guy, he had to sleep down at the end. So there was room for him down at the end. But then when somebody stretched their legs out, and I've heard them tell stories about that from years ago. I'm so glad we live when we do, and we all had our own bed. Though, which one of you as a mother hasn't had a kid come and share the bed? Okay. And then sometimes dad just gets tired of sleeping with an octopus, so he gets up and goes out to the sofa. Anyway, let's go back here. Trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, persistence, okay? He just keeps at it, and and because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And so then he goes on. Now, he gave us a story there. He got the picture. fella, knock, knock, knock. I got a visitor came and I don't have anything to feed him. Do you have 3 loaves for me? Now, he didn't go to that guy figuring he's in the same condition that the one knocking on the door is. He had good reason to believe that he'd have had 3 loaves, okay? And so he just kept knocking. Finally, the guy inside, to get rid of him, gave him the 3 loaves. And this is a picture of prayer. You see, now we don't usually think of, and there's another scripture example where he just kept asking and asking before a judge, and the judge finally did it just to satisfy the guy and get rid of him. Now, I don't think of God answering our prayers in the terminology of getting rid of us. Okay, I don't think that would be accurate. But he's using these kind of illustrations because who is he illustrating to? Us human beings. And he knows how we think. And therefore, he's giving us these kind of illustrations. And now, notice the next 2 verses. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Level 1, praying. Ask. And it'll be given you. If it's something that isn't harmful, hurtful, and within God's will, he'll just answer your prayer. Now we move to level 2. Seek, and ye shall find. So you ask, and you get it. Entry level, basic, comes what I'm going to call quick and easy. But that doesn't always happen with prayer. And there's times where what we need to do is seek. You see, I'll ask Pat, I'll say, I want that hot pepper jelly for all my toes. Well, it's in the refrigerator. Well, I go and I look in the refrigerator, and as she says, if it's not setting eye level shelf right in the front, I won't see it. Okay? And so I go, and you know, I ask, but I didn't receive. So what I need to do now is seek. That's when she tells me, just look around a little. Oh, yeah, okay. And oh, there it is. And she says, yeah. And so we ask God some things he gives us quickly. Then there's other things where he tells us to seek for him. And I'm going to come to the reasoning that he has, or one of the reasons that he may have on that. And then there's a third level. He says, everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So here we are with his illustration of the 2 men, the 1 man needing loaves of bread for a traveler. And he says, knock. You look for it, you don't find it. You just keep asking God. You keep knocking. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Now, you are aware that there's times where God doesn't answer our prayers because he knows it's not good for us. But I have heard testimonies of people who said, I just kept begging God, and he gave it. And then they learned later it wasn't good. A friend of mine got a job, and he later learned that he said, you know, I don't really know if God answered that prayer if I just persisted long enough to get what I wanted. And you see, we say, how do you distinguish between if God's answering or if I'm just forcing doors open? You've heard of that already, haven't you? Where people are praying, but they're not just waiting for God. They're pushing ahead. And the term that's used is forcing doors open. And then when they get what they want, oh, praise the Lord, God answered my prayer. And then everything falls apart. That's when you have to ask, did God answer your prayer? Did you force yourself into that? You say, well, what do you do at that point? The better thing is to go back to the beginning point. I stopped at Miller's Market in East Olean one day this week, because we've got tomatoes, and the bottom of most every one of the tomatoes has black on it. Big, round circle, black. And just let it there and it'll grow up more. You can cut the actual good part off and throw the yucky away. And I thought it was a blight. And he said, no, he said, that's probably end blossom rot. Yep. Okay? Once it blossoms, and of course tomato come there, and if you got that, and I said, what can I do? He said, you should have done it 2 months ago. He said, there's nothing you can do now. And he told me, he said, the blossoms that are left, they're, if they produce a tomato, they're not going to have enough time to grow and become big enough. So in other words, we just cut off the top half of the tomato and eat it. And next year, and he says, you're probably going to have to do it every year, you're going to have to use a calcium nitrate, he said, to stop that end blossom rot. Well, whatever the situation is, what should have been done 2 months ago. And so when we find ourselves in a situation where we're asking, is this, did God let me have this just to test me? Or is this something that I brought on myself? Better to go back 2 months ago, or however long, to when you were beginning the event, and make certain that the prayer is right, and be willing to accept whatever God answers. Okay, and if it isn't answered. Now, this I'm giving this in the context of this man who kept knocking, of Jesus saying, ask, seek, and knock. So persistence is good, but we must be willing for whatever God chooses to answer in that. And boy, I'll tell you, when we want something, we sure can convince ourselves that this would be what God wants. Have you had that experience? Let's put it this way. Have you seen others who've had that experience? It's much easier to see it in others than in ourselves. But where they just, you could tell, they were just, I'm thinking of a situation now in which some people wanted some things, and they just, you know, they prayed, and then they did this, and then they prayed some more, and then they did that, and then they got what they wanted. But my, did they get a real peck of trouble. And it was nothing but a white elephant, we often call it, you know. That, I wonder where that saying came from, a white elephant, what that means. Sam, why don't you check that out for us there? And so, you know, and it was not the blessing they originally thought. Now, all of this goes back to, we've got to be walking with the Lord. My message this morning, and I didn't realize how this would tie in with the sermon, but my message this morning is that godliness with contentment is great gain. And it's going to tie into this very particular thing that I'm saying now, and I didn't realize that. I like to think that's the way the Lord leads and develops some lessons. All right, now let's look at another scripture here. We're going to go to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, and verse 18 is what I have written down here. Now, we're all under the idea of prayer and developing our salvation by praying. And so what we know about prayer, what right experiences we've having about prayer, we continue. The idea with the instruction this morning is that perhaps something new or an expanded aspect of something you already know. I'm not standing here teaching as if you've never heard anything about prayer and you don't know anything about prayer. I know who I'm talking to, and you folks know about prayer. But I don't know everything about prayer, okay? And therefore, I had to read on it, had to study on it in order to have this particular Sunday school lesson. Had to, you know, what do we say? Connect the dots, okay? And so when I learn something from this verse and this verse, oh yeah, I see how that goes together. All right, now, Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity, where? In my heart. You know, I might avoid outwardly wrongdoing. I might avoid outward. I'm not going to an X-rated movie. Okay? I'm not going to stop and buy a lottery ticket. But if in my heart, what's in that X-rated movie is appealing, you got to recognize that's a temptation. And I've got to watch and pray. Okay? And I may not go to an X-rated movie, but what about Netflix? Okay? I used to say, what about going and renting? Okay, but that's almost become passé. Okay? So now to be Netflix and whatever other rental places are there. Oh, you know, I'll rent that thing and I can watch it in my own home where nobody else knows. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart. You see, it's a matter of just doing right or wrong, not who knows and sees. That's one reason why a lot of older Christians are not as strong today as what 10, 20 years ago you would have expected them to be. You looked at their life maybe 10, 20 years ago, and because of where they were in their Christian life, you would expect them to be giants in the faith. You look at them today and they're wimps. Oh, they're going to church, but man, they just lost any kind of fervor that they once had for the Lord. Well, maybe it's because they were regarding, maybe, not all kinds, or not all times, but maybe because they were regarding iniquity in their heart. Oh, they didn't go to X-rated movies. They didn't buy lottery tickets. But when some of those solicitations came in the mail, and I tell you, you got to watch and pray. I'm trying to remember what group, what organization it is that I get mail from. And they were giving away a car. And if you sent them a $6 donation, you would get 6 raffle tickets. Well, hey, it's a good organization. I'll give them $6. But you get 6 raffle tickets. Now, wouldn't that be sweet if I gave them the donation based on the donating factor and I won? And then they contact the Olean newspaper and say, the Reverend Hain won in a raffle by such and such an organization, a brand new car. It'll be delivered this afternoon. Oh, glory. Can you imagine the mess that would make? It's not worth it. And I sat there and I looked at it. And this part of me said, it's donating. It's a good cause. And this part of it said you wouldn't go out and buy a raffle from the VFF, whatever, the military group down the road. And so, you know, and back and forth. And he says, watch, be alert, and pray. You know, in that case, I didn't have to pray. I knew what was right. And I just had to decide that I was going to do what was right. So wouldn't you like the new car? That's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is what's right and wrong in a particular thing. You say, well, I don't feel the way you do about that. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just giving you an example of what I think when it comes to this matter of watching and praying. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, my prayers are going to be hindered. Boy, we've got to wrap this up. My prayers, if I regard iniquity, the Lord will not hear me. Okay. Okay, Sam found our answer to the white elephant.
In like Thailand and Cambodia, there was a sign of royalty to have a white elephant because it literally has no use at all, but it takes so much to take care of it. So they would give it to traders that they considered obnoxious, or like they gave one to the Barnum Bay Circus just because they didn't like it.
Okay. All right, so just we use it like, you know, you got it, but it's become a white elephant. It's useless. It's more trouble than it's worth. And that's what he said in Thailand. Only the rich could have them. But they didn't want to keep them, so they'd give them to people who were a problem to them. And, a white elephant gift. All right, we're going to close. Father, thank you for this day and pray your blessing on our Sunday school time. In Jesus' name, amen.